or time passing? From the Empire State Building to the skies of Wyoming, what are we looking at? This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the physical, the spiritual, the emotional, the psychological, and everything in between. This is episode number 531 of The Next Step, and we're inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to The Next Step. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life. Based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ, we here at epostle.net stay firm to our commitment to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
How do you make something that is 6 hours long last 8 hours? Let me say that again, okay? Something that is 6 hours, you want it to go for 8 hours. How do you do that? In junior high, this was like kind of like one of these exciting things we used to talk about. I had a friend named Mike, and he would tell us all kinds of stuff. Another friend named Arminis, she was a little bit older. She was like intrigued with all kinds of stuff, actually turned me on to Tull and just esoteric kind of things. And she was the one who told me about this as well. So I had it from two different sources, that there was a movie called Sleep. Yeah. We didn't know Andy Warhol at that time. I got to tell you, we never discussed Andy Warhol by name. But we knew that there was a movie called Sleep. It was later on that I found out that this movie was made by Andy Warhol. And we knew at that time that the entire premise of the entire premise of the movie was that it was about a man sleeping for 8 hours. You would go into the movie theater, and I guess you'd watch the guy sleep for 8 hours. And I always remembered this movie. Later, I found out it was an Andy Warhol movie, and of course, Andy Warhol, yeah. But it wasn't until I got ready for today's podcast did I do the research on it, because I'm tying it in with another movie by Andy Warhol, which was called Empire. Now, Sleep came out in 1963, and this is what it says. I'm reading from Wikipedia. It says, Sleep is a 1963 American film by Andy Warhol, consisting of long take footage of John Giarno sleeping for 5 hours and 20 minutes. The film was one of Warhol's first experimental filmmaking and was created as an anti-film. Warhol would later extend this technique to his 8-hour-long film called Empire. So the whole premise was you'd take it for the 5.5 hours and then you'd run it in slow-mo and you'd get 8 hours. This is interesting here. Sleep premiered on January 17, 1964 at the Gramercy Arts Theater as a fundraiser for Filmmakers Cooperative. Of the 9 people who attended the premiere, 2 left during the first hour. Yes, 8 hours of a man sleeping. So we used to talk about this film. And just a couple weeks ago, we were in New York, and we happened to be like about a block away from the Empire State Building. And we took a walk late at night, and we went by the Empire State Building, and we looked up, and it was just so beautiful, just to see the clouds and just this. I just love this structure. I think it's either 1931 or 1933. It reflects that era. There's just something about this building that really speaks to me. But that night, as I looked up, I recounted that there was a movie made by Andy Warhol called Empire. So as I did the research on Empire, because wait a minute, we tuned in for a little Armadoxy. We tuned in for a little spirituality. What are you talking to us about, Andy Warhol? Oh, man, if you knew where I'm recording from, it would be truly Andy Warhol. I don't know if I'm going to tell you, okay? But for right now, let me just continue with this movie, okay? So Empire, trust me, it all fits in. It trust me this time, okay? All the dots are going to be connected in a few moments. Empire is a 1964 black and white silent film by Andy Warhol. When projected according to Warhol's specification, it consists of 8 hours and 5 minutes of slow motion footage of an exchanging view of the Empire State Building. So he shot 6.5 hours, ran it at slow motion so that it would be 8 hours long. The film does not have conventional narrative or characters and largely reduces the experience of cinema to a passing of time. Warhol stated that the purpose of the film was to see time go by. So just like sleep, you would go into this, you would go into the theater and watch a man sleep for 8 hours. So too with Empire, 1964 film, okay? You'd go in for 8 hours, you'd watch Empire, the Empire State Building. And Warhol confessed that the reason for this, Warhol stated that the purpose of the film was to see time go by. And why am I saying all this? Because, yeah, we let too much time go by, and it is so precious. I am just finishing up a small little tour, a getaway, in Yellowstone, actually in Wyoming and then Yellowstone. We're going to be up in Utah, Salt Lake City, with the congregation there to celebrate the Assumption Feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary this Sunday. And before that, Susan and I said, let's do a little getaway. Always wanted to see Yellowstone, especially Old Faithful. We went to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, fell in love with this place. And I think it was a couple nights ago, we're standing outside at night and I look up at the stars and I realize that I had missed those stars. It had been too long since I had seen those stars. And if you remember, if you've been listening to this show for the last, I'd say 6 months, about 6 months ago, we did a program about Reclaim, a conference that I was throwing in the Los Angeles area at Burbank. And one of the themes that I had in that was about Joseph and Mary, the story of them leaving Jerusalem, going back home, and on the way home, the gospel narrative tells us Joseph and Mary realize they have left Jesus behind. And so they go back and they find Jesus talking in the temple in Jerusalem. And the narrative, as the narrative goes, we realize that Joseph and Mary had not lost Jesus. They had merely forgotten about him. They had forgotten him in the commotion, in the, you know, they traveled in caravans, they traveled with other people and everything. They had left him behind because they had forgotten him, not lost him. And I think so, in so many ways, we don't lose our focus. We don't lose Christ. We don't lose God, but we misplace it. We forget it. We've forgotten where our bearings are. And this is what happened in Wyoming. I'm looking up at the sky. I'm looking up at the heavens, and I'm seeing the Milky Way galaxy. And it's been so many years since I've had the chance to look up. I used to run a camp for the Western Diocese for several years, about 15 years. My summers were spent out in the outside. And one of the highlights of those summers used to be the evenings. You'd put the campers down, it'd be quiet, everybody would be asleep, and you'd have a chance to just go out and put your head on the ground and look up and see the sky, see the heavens from one side to the other. Millions of stars. Yes, millions of stars are up there, but, you know, there's, I can't remember, Carl Berman, I think it was, just recently, there's a wonderful podcast called Astounding Universe. If you don't subscribe to it, I highly recommend that you subscribe to it. And recent podcast, he said, even though we think it's millions of stars. The amount that the human eye sees is really 3,500. Yeah, true. You see 3,500 stars. But for the sake of poetry, of romance, millions of stars. Millions of stars. You put your head on the ground. You look up at the heavens from one side of the heavens to the other side. And you see God, the paintings of God. And I had missed that. And it made me think about empire. It made me think about sleep. We lose too much of what is so important in our lives to things that don't matter. Yes, in a sense, you look up at the Empire State Building and you look at it and you say, what a structure. This is the design of human imagination. This is the design of architecture coming alive. That's beautiful, right? Do we do that? Do we do that? 8 hours sitting in a theater looking to make the point that, hey, we're wasting our time. And that's what happened. Just a couple nights ago, out in the Wyoming wilderness, just being out there in Jackson Hole, looking straight up. And so the next day, Susan and I, we traveled a little bit inside. We went to many of the canyons. And, you know, there was just such beauty. One particular place, I want to share this with you because it really spoke to me. It was a small little church run by the Episcopal Diocese up there. There were two little chapels we found inside of Teton National Park. Now, Teton National Park is a little south of Yellowstone. You actually go through Teton to get to Yellowstone. And let me tell you, if you're living in America, get your annual National Parks Pass. Wow, what a value just to see these places. So there were two chapels inside of Teton National Park, and one of them was dedicated to the Assumption of St. Mary. The other one was dedicated to the Transfiguration. And the second one, the first one was run by the Catholic Diocese. The second one was run by the Episcopal Diocese. Now, what struck me about this church, you go to the church, it's in front of this majestic mountain. And when you walk inside the church, the altar is set up, and there's a window behind the altar. And of course, framed directly in the middle of that is this majestic mountain, the Wyoming mountain, just looking at you. And this is where you offer your prayers. Now, it begs the question, why do you need this? So many times I've had the opportunity to pray in the wilderness. We've done retreats. We've taken groups, communities up to the mountains. We've done services. We've celebrated the liturgy. And it's always a very special opportunity for me to call attention to people that when we do these outside in the middle of God's splendor, we are celebrating these liturgies in God's first church. The open-air church, the mountains, the beauty, the trees, the wind, the creek, the rustle of that creek, of the leaves, God's first church. So it begs the question, why stick a chapel in the middle of God's first church? It's a legitimate question. It's one that I thought of. I'm sitting there and I'm going, why? But here's what got me. At the Church of the Transfiguration, this is right at the entrance of Teton National Park. You walk up to the church. There's the door entering into the church. To the left side and to the right side of the church building. I'm not talking about the pews inside. I'm talking outside. There are rows of chairs. So essentially, people on the outside are in the bigger church, while people in the inside are confined in a smaller church But when you really think about the prayer life and the prayer dynamics that take place, the worship dynamics that take place, it all comes together, right? One inside of the other. The kingdom of heaven is inside and outside of you. And I've just started thinking, wow, what an opportunity to preach, to talk about Christ, to talk about the Christian community and what it means to come together, assemble together, and to pray. And in the midst of this, I thought of empire. What a waste of time. What a waste of time that we go outside. I used to say to myself, you know, if I had an option to have anything I wanted, I would want to get a sleeping pill. No, not a pill to make you fall asleep. A pill to eliminate sleep. Now that I'm getting older and I realize the importance of sleep and the importance of the sleep pattern in our life and for our general health, I understand now that was pretty stupid of me to have a wish like that. But I used to think this way. I used to think that, what a waste. What a waste to be able to, what an opportunity would be able to not sleep if you could be awake. Because life is so beautiful. It's filled with so much adventure that it's a waste when you think about it, that you sleep. Now, of course, you realize that, hey, you know, like you need it, the body needs it and everything. But, and of course, there is no such thing as a sleeping pill, a pill to eliminate sleep. So let's just leave it to fantasy. But you get the idea. You watch a movie called Sleep. What a waste of time. Are there things that are akin to that? I've shared with you in the past the Gilligan Island story, right? Gilligan's Island. It's a sitcom. I don't know how many years it ran. It was a comedy. Seven people on a boat. They get shipwrecked on an island every week. Every week they try to get off the island. And it's interesting because people come on the island. Everybody and his monkey has been on the island. And all these people could get to the island and all these people could get off, but these seven people could not get off the island. And I make the point that, you know, Gilligan's Island, they never get off the island. I mean, that's the plot. And I don't mean to be, what's the word when you... when you give away the ending of a story, I don't want to give you a spoiler alert. This is a spoiler alert. Gilligan never gets off the island. The seven never get off the island. In other words, don't waste your time. You know, okay, have entertainment in your life, but they're never going to get off the island. And there's so many important things, so many beautiful things to really to consume your life with. And, it, you know, just sitting there inside of this park, inside of the majesty, you realize that this is God's artwork. This is God at its best. And we fill it up with all kinds of things. And when I look at an Empire State Building, it's a reflection to me of God. Because it took the human imagination to take that God-given talent, to take that beauty and construct something out of it. It's incredible. And so too with your life. Christ calls us to a life of production. And it's interesting because we have the right to do whatever we want. We don't have really the right to say no to the gift that God has given us. God has given us all kinds of gifts, and the time we get into trouble is when we say no to God's gifts. If you have a small place that you can get away to, and this doesn't have to be physical, by the way, thanks to the modern means, thanks to especially YouTube, you know, darken a room and put it up on your screen. If you can't get out, if you can get out, do get out. Get out to a beach. Get out to the mountains. Get out to your front yard and just look up at a tree and see the beauty in nature. And you see a reflection of God, the presence of God. And really, I know many, many mystics have talked about it. I know many people who are considered atheists because they don't talk about a personal God, but they understand nature as a reflection of that divine presence, of something greater than themselves. Let's use those kind. You know, those are just words. You know, those are just words. We choose to call it God. Others choose to call it different ways. But we're all acknowledging that this is beyond us. And when you sit there and you look up at the sky, you look up at the heavens, when you sit there and you look all around you and you perceive and you take it in. And I couldn't help but thinking about all the beauty around us and people who perhaps don't have eyes to be able to see, and yet they hear the tremendous. Others who don't have the ability to hear, and yet they see things that you or I cannot see. It's just all the wonder of the beauty that God packs into each and every one of us. Don't waste it. And that's a simple message that I'm going to leave you with today. And there's a reason I'm leaving you with today, because we are just about the Assumption Feast. Assumption Feast is about St. Mary saying yes to God. Assumption Feast is about St. Mary being so special in God's sight. And that specialty comes with her willing to give her all to something greater than herself. And that's why on that day we bless grapes. The grape is the beauty. It's our production. It's Jesus saying, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. You are the branches. If you abide in me, you bear much fruit. You give much fruit. Now, I know this doesn't get said enough, but there is no magic about blessing grapes. There is nothing special about blessing grapes if you don't get the idea that it's attachment to Jesus Christ. And that's where the productive life comes out. Listen to his words. If the branch is connected to the vine, then it produces its harvest. A branch cannot bear fruit unless it is connected to the vine. It's simple. It's simple botany. Okay? This is how it works. There is no branch in nature anywhere else that by itself will bear fruit. Yes, you see that green stuff. No, those are things that are attaching themselves to them. Those are parasites. No, that's not the fruit. No, the branch has to be connected to the vine for it to produce its fruit. You too, your life has to be connected to God. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. There's too many sleeps, too many empires, these movies that we get consumed with and we say, oh, wow, look at that. And the author himself, Andy Warhol, is telling us that's, you know, it's a waste of time. Don't waste your time, you know? I don't know if he got around to saying it that much. I'm not a real big fan of Andy Warhol. I think it's kind of interesting that he does these kind of things. And despite our time period, despite me being around there, I wasn't really kind of intrigued with Campbell's soup cans and everything. But this particular movie, set of movies, was one that I wanted to bring to your attention today. This podcast before the Assumption Feast, because we are broadcasting just at the tail end of this beautiful trip in God's creation, in God's valley, in Wyoming, in Montana, through Utah, through Idaho. Yeah, we hit four states. Just beautiful. And we are recording this evening in a small town called Roxburgh, Idaho. Now, the details of that, I'm not going to share with you tonight, because there is a beautiful story that goes with that. One which will really, really, when I tell you this story, and I don't know when I'm going to be able to, it might be a few months before I can give you access to this story. But one day you're going to tell me, why did you record in Roxburgh? And I will tell you about it. I will tell you about all the factors that came together. It's one of those stories where you realize that there is no such thing as coincidence. Everything, there is a harmony. And when you allow yourself to be a part of that harmony, things do work out. I have to end this podcast a little early today. And there is another reason for that, and that is because of some of the equipment that we have today that we're using. But you're going to get this halfway podcast. You are going to get a song of the day, and you're going to get Susie at the end. So there's not much to complain about, you know? It's like, we're just not going to give you the second half. But you could think of it like, you know, it's we got the first half, and the first half was pretty good because we're not going to be sharing our life like an empire. Or not like an empire or like a sleep movie. Make the most of your life. Be productive. Be productive. Now, for the song of the day. It's actually one that you can use, okay? You just go to a small little place where you can look. The beauty and wonders of the world and not have to think, oh man, this just happened and this is an accident. No, just go someplace and be quiet. And as the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. And you can listen to this song. I picked it out purely because of the words and the meaning of the name of the song, okay? It's called Been So Long. And it's off of an album called Under the Stars. Enjoy. Thank you. Been Too Long off of an album called Under the Stars. Very appropriate because we're leaving those stars. It happens to be, by the way, this morning, like it was like just a sliver of a moon that came up right around, it was right around 5 o'clock. I think it was a little bit earlier than that. It was like 4:30 or so. I spotted it out there in the east. It was a sliver, which means that the new moon is probably a couple days away, and the Assumption Feast on the 12th is going to be at the new moon. But here's the exciting thing. The annual meteor shower takes place this Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday night, and all revolving around the new moon. In other words, less light pollution. Go and enjoy it, okay? And I know, yes, we missed that major lunar eclipse. I hope you people who had a chance in Europe or wherever else it was, I hope you got a chance to see it and enjoyed it. Just beautiful phenomena, which all points to something greater than us. And that's what we point to, too. Here is Susie to point you in a direction where you can help out. And like I said, we're calling it a short day today, but I hope you enjoyed it. Here's Susie with her announcement.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you, all of you, for your prayers, your attention, the words of comfort that you send our way. I really mean it. There's a lot of comfort to know that there are people listening, appreciating, and sharing this message. I have so much that I need to talk to you about, and I want to share with you. Today, we kind of left it at about halfway through, and that's because our equipment on the road was not performing the way it was. You probably could tell from my voice, we need to do a little bit of upgrading, tweaking, let me say it that way, tweaking of our systems. But I am recording in Mountain Time, and it's an hour off of Pacific Time where this file is going to go, and hopefully you're going to get it in time to meet our self-instituted deadline of a Thursday night podcast. And it happens every week. It has happened for the last 10 years, and now we're starting our 11th year, and it happens because of your prayers. Because you're out there listening and encouraging us with those prayers. Thank you very much, and may God bless you all. Listen, we're going to call it an evening. I hope you have a beautiful Assumption Feast this Sunday. Get out to a church, and when they do the great blessing, you'll have an idea that there's something beyond it. Don't let them tell you it's about getting free grapes. No, it's much more than that. If you had one grape in your mouth, that would be enough, because you'd have the kingdom. You'd have all eternity in your mouth. And you'll understand that when you start reading John chapter 15. I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. You are the branches. So abide in me, and you will bear much fruit. I hope you do bear a lot of fruit. Happy Assumption. We'll talk more about it next week when I'm back in, when I got my feet back in the Epostle Studios. For right now, we have a wonderful crew to put this together. Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Bob Roscoe, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
I forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are.